Okay, I'm on the line with Will Erickson. It's February 10th, 2013, and we're discussing whatever Will has on his mind and body and lips and Kleenex. And
yeah, so hello, Bob.
Hey, Will.
So I'm curious curious about Bob Carr. I'm going to go talk to him pretty soon, and I want to talk to him specifically about Al Hubbard and about his time in Seattle at the Center for Integration.
Right. Now, that would be 1956, 57 to 1960.
Right. Right, right.
And, you know, the long interview I did with Dave Worster, 24 hours about, goes into that period in detail. And then I did a follow-up interview, long, 22 hours, I think, with Bob Carr, where he gives his view of that period. So you have that data there. You've listened to both of them, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely listened to both of them, and I've read his book, too.
Right.
But when I emailed you a couple weeks ago saying that I'm going to talk to him soon, you're saying to ask specific questions. I was wondering if there's any specific questions you want me
right.
to go into further.
Well, you've got his book is called God, Men, Con Men. Anybody
yeah, yeah, God,
Men,
Con
Men. It's a good book because he's an early canary in the mine, M-I-N-E, for the Aquarian Conspiracy. He started very young, being a medium out of Portland, and then he went into Krishnamurti, and then he made the first video TV show, mixed media simulcast kind of stuff in Seattle in the late 60s, early 70s. Then he went down and did stuff with Desi Arnaz Jr., I think, and did restaurants in San Francisco. And then he
managed the TV station in San Francisco.
Yeah,
and it was
he
the first
that.
Stereo broadcast of television over at Coffee.
Say that again. Don't talk too fast. What did you say?
He did the first stereo broadcast of television over at, like, stereo audio broadcast.
Right.
Over at, now it's called Coffee TV 20, but it used to be called something else.
Right. Yeah, it was a favorite station of San Francisco area. You know, they had weird, wacky stuff on it, and probably didn't do too well commercially, but was a great experience for people's memories. If you can remember, we'll get Bob to give you the call letters, or they might be in the interview, and Google it. There's people talk about those days, that station at the time he was working there running it. But, yeah, he touched on many scenes all over the place, and he also was a magician.
Right.
You know, accomplished magician. So he's a, you know, and the changes he went through are what a lot of people went through later. He's like an archetype of it, and Dave Worster, too. But Bob's interesting the variety of stuff he's done. And he then became very involved with UG Krishnamurti.
Yeah, UG Krishnamurti. And so the Coffee TV 20 used to be called Chemo TV.
Yeah.
And it stopped broadcasting on my birthday.
What's that?
September 30th.
What year did it stop?
1980. I was born in 83, so it was before.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
So September 30th, 1980, I think is the same year that television. Oh, there's some quote. There's never mind. Someone was saying that TV or the cinema died on September 30th, 1980.
Oh, okay. But that you now look up Chemo and read some stories. There's some guy writes a column remembering all the characters and that used to be on it. If you Google that, that might come up. So he got involved with UG Krishnamurti, and that's a very interesting story because UG Krishnamurti was an attempt to be an antidote to Jiddu Krishnamurti, the famous Krishnamurti. He'd been his follower of the Jiddu. UG Krishnamurti was a follower of Jiddu Krishnamurti, and then he fell out, and Bob met him at the time he was falling out from it and stayed in touch with him and then got very involved and edited him. The video, the YouTubes of UG Krishnamurti, a lot of them are taped by Bob in the hotel rooms and different places. And Bob now, I think, is doing an editing project and all this stuff.
Right. And that's probably why he's coming back to – I know that's why he was here last time.
Right.
That's probably why he's coming back this time.
They might be doing a book. And there's some people in the India, Hollywood or Bollywood.
Bollywood
that were involved with UG Krishnamurti. So he knows those people. Successful filmmakers in India, they're part of his life. So, yeah, he certainly has a lot of stories to tell, and also he's very cynical about the whole Aquarian conspiracy, New Age activities that he was part of before anybody else was.
And does he know it? Does he know it as the Aquarian conspiracy?
I don't think so. I don't think he reads LaRouche and that kind of stuff. He just thinks it's people's stupidity.
Right.
And
but he's still into something.
Well, you know, he likes Ion as fun. He thinks Ion's entertaining.
Right.
He will not tolerate any other ideas about Ion that I would say. But, you know, that's pretty good if he likes something. And I don't know if he still does, but he did like Ion back in the 2 years ago. And that was a compliment that Ion could get Bob Carr to ignore the channeling aspect that Bob might think it is and still enjoy it. Because he recognized that Ion was fresh.
Right, right.
Whatever Ion was, he had to say, yep, this is interesting. I'll listen to it. So
yeah,
that's good.
That is good. And, so the question is, do you think, how much experience did he have with Al Hubbard? Because that's kind of what I want to focus on.
Yeah, you got to focus Dave was the leader. He was very good at doing the acid trips. He had no status at the Center of Integration, Dave Wurster, when he came there. He was like a guy looking for a safe harbor after his haunted house experience. But Bob Carr told him to read Krishnamurti, and Dave was always thankful for that. But Bob Carr, Bob and Connie, that's what's fun.
Right.
Connie Keeler, I think his name was. They were gay lovers.
Who killed himself eventually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or let himself go or something. He died about 20 years ago or something. Bob and Connie, they were the leaders in a way. But Dave somehow was really good on the LSD trips. So he might have done more talking to Hubbard than Bob Carr. Though I don't know. I don't know how much Bob Carr will talk about that or what he understood was happening there. But that's what you got to ask him about. You got to ask him the details. How Dave, you see, Bob Carr had LSD first.
And he still does today.
Yeah. He had,
interview, you touch on that.
Yeah, he has the Sandoz stuff. He still has the original stuff from 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah, but it's probably in India.
Yeah, he doesn't let out where it is. But so I think he had an acid trip. And then Dave Wurster saw them come home from it and was intrigued. So then he had one the next couple of days. I think that's the way it goes. But then Dave was everybody who got into the scene and started taking the acid, they thought Dave was really good at leading it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Bob Carr did in those kind of scenes.
Right.
Because
when
I met Bob Carr in 1969, he wasn't friendly to what Dave was doing with cosmic awareness. Because Bob Carr thought he'd already done mediumship, and Dave was just falling into it, and Bob Carr had left that world that didn't respect it. And he thought Dave was falling into it, but I think Dave was doing something different that Bob Carr didn't understand or didn't believe or didn't want to understand. But I'm glad that I stayed in touch with Dave Wurster. He's proven the best mind of the gang, and Ion agrees.
And how's he doing? How's Dave doing?
Doing great. He's on the RNA drops, and things are improving in himself. And I mean, he's born in 1928, so he's 84.
Yeah,
he was 84,
that's the
man.
Year, according to Boehrert.
That's the year of what?
That's the year Boehrert was saying, you know, that's the last year, 84.
Say it again? Boehrert saying what?
He was saying all the greats die when they're 84.
Right, Boehrert. Right, 7 times 12.
Yeah.
He says that's a pattern. A lot of people... who were pretty unique, they died 84. Right. So
yeah.
Wurster, he probably won't die this year.
Yeah, I hope not, yeah.
He just has to go another couple of months, and he's made it to 85.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But, you know, he could, it's going to be tricky. He could go down in March for some reason.
Yeah.
But he's on the RNA drop. See, he's the only guy from way back then who's doing the RNA drop. See, he's a charmed person.
Right, right.
You know, you can't die on the RNA drops if you don't have If you have psychological problems or weirdness and you want to off yourself, that'll happen. But if you don't have those problems with RNA drops, you can stay vibrant forever. I mean, Ion told Dave Wurster, get ready, you'll be able to start a new family. And even Dave, when I told him that Ion said that, he says, Dave goes, ah, he didn't believe that. He couldn't take that.
Yep. Yeah, well, there you go.
So, Bob Carr, you got to, well, we're, maybe I should be there at the interview.
I think that would be great if you were there.
Really. Yeah. So
yeah.
We should, because
I shouldn't have listened to both of their, you know, the 2 days worth of interviews from both of them 3 years ago and read the book 3 years ago. That's what I shouldn't have done.
Why? Why not?
I mean, I should have read it all recently.
Well, do it.
Yeah.
Do your fucking homework.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't listen to all the stuff, but you could jump through it, remind yourself of it, or just go to that period, the Hubbard period.
Yeah, and I've done that a few times since then. But yeah, the question is I'm wondering what you didn't cover in there, just if you can remember any outstanding questions. Probably not. You probably hit everything.
Yeah, because I always had to be careful. You know, it's a touchy subject bringing up Dave and Bob with those two. And
right.
You heard the end when I get them on the phone together.
Yeah. And Bob's a little weird to Dave.
Bob's a little what?
Weird to Dave. Or, you know, like Dave's talking to him. He's like, yeah, I remember all this stuff. It's really important to me. And Bob's like, oh, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He was remaining dead, indifferent. And
Dave's
picking that up, but he's trying to be friendly and have energy. So Dave's leading the discussion and talking, quote, positively. And Bob's is the stick in the mud, just sort of, sure, Dave. Yeah. No, that's all crap, Dave. You know?
Yeah. He's talking about astral travel or something. And that sounds pretty interesting.
Because Bob Carr's position now is it's all brain chemistry.
Right.
You have one life, I guess, and anything you think you're having, these weird experiences or fun experiences, are just aberrated brain chemistry. And we here at Dobstown don't believe that. It could be considered brain chemistry if you had other levels of chemistry included in your definition of chemistry. You know what I mean? New stuff, like RNA drops or
what
we call a non-physical stuff happening in chemistry, which we're witnessing. I mean, what I see in the factory is so incredible. That makes me very confident about all these things. And knowing that makes me and Carolyn like the most knowledgeable people on the planet about what can be. What is and what can be. And that puts us in a special enlightened state there. And no one else has that other than those who work in the factory. And
Where's the factory?
Well, I'm not saying that where it is.
What's
the most important place in the planet.
Okay, so
you know, it's an idiot. Can you imagine anybody, Reverend Stang, anybody who's listening to this, oh, that's crazy, Bob. But even you have taken the drops, and you know something's going on with them.
Yep, it's true.
Let's have a little testimonial, brother.
The drops work so well, I forget to take them.
Yeah, you're blissed out. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I did a great talk. You know about the Bob show that I do with Love Job or Youngblood?
Yeah.
You know, the Bob show? Well, we did another one yesterday with James Kidney, who had the part of the head of the Watchers at the end of Fringe.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you watch Fringe?
No, I haven't seen it, but I know about it through you, basically.
Yeah, talking about it. Well, James Kidney, we did 5 hours on Payday back in December, and then just before he filmed the last bits in Vancouver for Fringe, and then we just did another follow-up, a couple hours, and it's really good because he knows a lot of people in Hollywood and here and there, and we made a lot of good connections, but he discusses the RNA drops effects on him. So all the old school cynics, they're going to be shocked at what I say, but I wouldn't say it if I wasn't confident based on the experiences we're having. And the experiences are exclusive. I'm not telling anybody about where they are or how they're done right now. But I'm telling you, man, they are incredible. You are ET contact? Oh, at least that. It's at least ET contact, but it's more than that. So
you know, you'll make more money as a butcher.
Who says that? Zappa? Are you quoting Zappa?
Zappa line. Yeah.
Make more money as a butcher. What's that got to do with me? I'm making a lot of money.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's from the is it Mystery Man? Is that the name of the song?
Right, but what's that got to do with what we're talking about? Look,
no,
I got to pay
kidding,
a lot of taxes. I got to pay a lot of taxes this year.
No, well, that's too bad.
No,
the cynics, you know, that's what they say.
What?
A cynic, that's a cynical response. You'll make more money as a butcher.
Doing what?
Cynics, what?
Then doing RNA drops?
Yeah, or you know, the
No,
the cool
that's not true.
Stuff.
We got big sales. There are people all over the world doing the RNA drops, and they fucking recognize it. I mean, we could easily become a cult godlike. I mean, these people are so happy that they got fixed with whatever was ailing them. The RNA drops fixes the problems they've had for 20 years. They fucking love us so much, it's obscene.
Then I guess you'll make less money as a butcher.
Oh, yeah, everybody's going to make less money than me. I'm going to become the richest person in the world.
This is why
Ian's been saying for the last couple of years in cash flow and payday, he says, all the gold is being put on the trains and taken over to Dobbstown. Now, he says that many times. He does variation on it. There's a reason why he's saying that. All the gold in the world is going to be dropped in my lap because we got something better than gold. So
well,
all the guys who want to have status and they got their gold and they say, holy shit, this is worth nothing compared to what Bob's got. Hey, Bob, can I be part of the inner circle? Can you give me some – here, I'll give you all my gold. You know, that's what it'll come to.
What about the –
You were saying something. I blocked you. You say the thought you were going to say.
Yeah, iCell.
Yeah, the iCell is the basic phenomenon. RNA drops has the iCell in it. The iBlock has the iCell in it. Renew. The iCell, in simple terms, the iCell is the improved, way better D-cell.
Right.
And we call it iCell. It's named after Ion because Ion gave it to us. I don't know. I didn't know any of this stuff. We couldn't invent this. Nobody could have invented this. You had to have Ion's particular input on it because no human would have imagined it could be done that way. And so Ion created it, so it's called the iCell.
Right. But when's it coming out?
Well, you have it in the RNA drops. It's going to be used. We're working towards making the bread of life and the living water.
Yeah.
So that stuff is in the Bible. And it actually did exist way back there. Or, if there's no time, it exists right beside us. We just haven't brought it in. You know,
and
we haven't brought
it
in that now.
It's not the same as the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, you could say that, but it's way more than that. It's always way more. Now, what was I going to say about it? Ion says that if we had the bread of life today, we'd all die. It's too powerful. Our bodies couldn't take it. So the RNA drops is an interim period where we're changing our electron structure to be able to, so that your electrons be able to lock on and contain, or whatever you call it, the bread of life and living water. That's what's coming. So the RNA drops is just the beginning. And it's always, we're in about the 79th generation now. It's always improving, and whatever that means, it's just more powerful. It changes. And it's leading to the situation where we'll be able to make the bread of water, the bread of life and the living water, which I put together as the bread of water.
Very good. The bread of water.
So, you know, I don't know. If I talk about this stuff to Bob Carr, I don't know what he would think of it. I don't think he'd be very – he wouldn't believe it. Now, Worcester
–
now, here's the choice. Here's the difference. Worcester fucking believes it because he's taken it. That's the good thing about Worcester is he got it. And he says – he can feel it operating on his damaged nerves, or what he perceives as his damaged nerves.
Huh.
Now, he's going blind. Well, it would be great if he starts to be able to see.
Well, right, yeah. Is he reporting that?
Now, he hasn't said that yet.
But yeah, my grandpa's probably about the same age. He's been going blind, but he's been using Tai Chi to keep seeing.
He's been going blind.
Yeah. My grandfather has, but he's been using Tai Chi.
To do what?
To keep his sight, he says.
Oh, I mean it's fading, but he's holding it. He's holding on to it.
Yeah, or like you know, he's pretty much blind now. But for a while,
give him the fucking drops.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the drops are for everything. And we have incredible testimonials, some of them haven't even made public yet, that show when you make new perfect cells, you can expect everything to be better, improved, or corrected. I don't wear glasses anymore. And my teeth got whiter, and my hair is going strangely a weird brown.
You're like, yeah. You won't have gray hair anymore, but it's going to be a weird brown.
Yeah, weird brown. Well, it's sort of, so here it is. It's coming in. I keep looking at my hair, and it's like a kid's brown. It's not my old brown. It is a golden brown. So it's not negatively weird. It's just weird to me to look at this weird color in my head. And I say, Carol, do you see that? Says, yeah, it's different. It's a different color than it was. And this is what we expect when we're growing new cells. Now, this is what, okay, I'm walking up from the beach today, and walking up the hill, and I see two guys are in the parking lot. I don't even see them. I hear the word magnesium. I turn over, I look over, and there's this skinny guy talking to another guy who's sitting on his truck, and he's saying, magnesium, blah, blah, blah. And I go, magnesium? You ever heard of the book Magnesium Miracle? He goes, yes, I read it. I said, well, that's Carolyn. That's my wife. So I go over and I start talking to him. So pretty soon I start telling him about the RNA drops. I get him to write it down. He's going to go to the website. So I did a little proselytizing right there. And the other guy was more of a jock guy. He jogs, and he was getting ready to go run along the beach. And in the middle of it, he goes, how do we get here? Well, I was just talking to Steve about cars, and now what's going on? And I said, well, I just overheard him say the word magnesium. So I inputted this. And so Steve, this guy Steve, the new guy, he says, yeah. He says to Ben, I read all the stuff in magnesium. He heard me say magnesium, so he's over here. So this was like Ben couldn't get oriented. But in the end, I said, Ben, if you're not a fool, you will take the RNA drops. We give it away for free, except for shipping. You can reject it after, but you better try it or you're a fool. See, I can take – I'm the tough cop. Carolyn's the soft, practical, conservative doctor cop, right?
Right,
you wouldn't
right.
say that. But I can be blunt because I don't have any license to protect. So I told him, I said, you guys are fucking idiots if you don't try this out. And I explained it all to him. Now, why the hell am I telling you all this?
You're just telling me how.
Oh, it's just fun that I walk along, I hear the word magnesium. So I came home and tell Carol, and she says, yeah, if you mention magnesium, they're going to have to talk about me because she's the queen of magnesium.
So she knows a lot about Candida too, right?
Carol knows a lot. Look, Carol's the most knowledgeable doctor in the world. She's not a surgeon. Can't say she's the best surgeon in the world or anything, but she does stuff that gets you so you don't have surgery. A friend of hers went into a skin cancer operation yesterday. So Carolyn and they drive her to the hospital. Then the woman's boyfriend and Carolyn drive off to the market, get some stuff, and then they come back and the surgery's over, and there's their friend, and she's all woozy and can't stand up. And the boyfriend finds out that the nurse has been working on her for half an hour, an hour, and they can't get her to get up and all that. So Carolyn just steps forward, gives her some Bach flower drops and some other shit, and she jumps up 2 minutes later and walks out and floors everybody. What the fuck? And so the hospital didn't have a solution. Carolyn had a solution right there for her friend. And the boyfriend was amazed. But see, Carolyn knows everything about everything. But on top of that, she knows what Mir could do back in the 90s. Which put her way ahead in terms of understanding new matter, new substance, new relationships in medicine. And then when she got the RNA drops and ion, there's nobody on the planet equal to her. And ion Ion says that. You know, but there's nobody as smart as Carolyn because she knows the latest stuff that no one else knows, plus everything else that ever happened before.
So the question, how do you
does she know about Candida? Are you fucking nuts? She knows about everything. She can walk into any scene and make everybody feel better.
I know. A friend of mine needs to see her. How do you see her? You have to go to Maui?
No, you don't. It's all done by phone. You email. Now, this is ridiculous, Will. You've been in touch with me for years, and you don't know this. You email Carolyn. You go to her website. You email her, and then I don't know. And Carolyn says, okay, I'm interested. Send me your documents. So you send all your records to Carolyn.
Okay.
She goes over them. And then she figures out what she's going to do, and then you have a phone consult.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, I've never even talked to her.
You never met her? Okay. Yeah,
you know, that's like, I think today that's the most I've ever said to her.
You spoke to Carolyn today?
Oh, yeah, she was on the line for a second.
Yeah, you've never even heard her. Yeah, you've never even heard her in the back.
Yeah, I mean, I hear her on the radio and all that, but I think that's the closest we've ever gotten to interact.
Right. Yeah, she's helping us fix our Skype, which she didn't. She couldn't fix that. But anyways, they're my Skype. See, I'm in another dimension, so it's hard to hear me when we do Skype. This happens with whack jobs like yourself or into avant-garde culture and all weirded out yourself. There seems to be a disconnect with me when it comes to Skype. like Bill at Achieve Radio is not an avant-garde like you, not avant-garde guy, and so he can get me on Skype and he can hear me.
Yeah, I've talked to Bill recently, actually.
Bill's got a lot to say. He has an interesting life, and he's having great results in the RNA drops.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is. RNA drops are working pretty well for everyone.
Yeah, it's the best stuff. It actually works. There's nothing else works and doesn't give you any side effects. James Kinney calls RNA real nice acid. That's what he calls it.
Yeah, whenever people come over to my house, I give them to them.
Well, that's good. Give them a drop. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not
Does anybody ever report anything after?
No.
See, what's going to happen to them, they probably don't notice it. They will probably feel better about themselves and less mind chatter. That's what everybody reports. So they're going to walk around. I have a friend who hates his stuff and stopped taking it. I said, what's with him? And Ian says, well, he doesn't realize it, but he's happier.
Yeah.
You know, he's so happy, so I don't need this stuff.
Yeah, that's I think where I'm at, is I take it and I just forget about it.
Yeah, because you don't have to worry about anything. You stop worrying. Yeah. Look at James Martinez. He had aches and pains and arthritis kind of stuff for decades from his former athletic life. And he takes RNA drops. And then about 3 months after, 3 months later, he notices, holy shit, I haven't had any pain in the last 2 months. He hadn't noticed it. Now, my theory is that you, when you listen to Ion on Cashflow or Payday or interact with them in a private session, you are changed. You go, you could say, into another world. Another person is brought out. And that person can't remember the person who started off listening to the radio.
That is possible, you know, that because I've never actually talked to Ion either, that maybe the drops don't work the same way.
Well, you used to tune into Melting Titanium, and Ion discussed your response to it one night.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if we couldn't verify it or anything, but Ion talked about you and what you were thinking, doing, and why you said marshmallow or whatever it was you sent in as a ESP, the message. But Ion was right on your case.
I know, and that's the thing, is I never got to hear that.
Right, now, that's right. Maybe if I keep running my show, Payday, and I run out of Ion, I'm doing McLuhan on Maui now, lots of hours there, but maybe I'll start playing the Melting Titanium.
Yeah, if you start doing that, I'll tune in.
Yeah. That's
the 1%er stuff.
Yeah. And I'd have to go, what would be a drag, I'd have to listen to it all. Well, I don't mind. Yeah. I'm re-listening to a lot of the stuff, so I re-listen to it. Then I'd find out what was for me and Carolyn, and I'd have to delete. I'd have to do some serious editing.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting content, because it was a pretty interesting night. Every Tuesday night, Ion would be in charge, and he'd just sort of improvise and do all kinds of stuff on us, you know, just me and Carolyn. And the audience that was hearing us by ESP. He'd be playing off them.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
What?
I said definitely, yeah. It's ESP radio. So back to Bob. Back to Bob Carr. Is he – the book doesn't really cover – and I don't think your interviews really cover this either. Like present day, is he involved with Bollywood? Is that true?
Yes. Present day for the last 20 years has been UG Krishnamurti. That's been his life. And he talks a bit about it, you know, in his book up to wherever the book ends. And then he's been still doing it and taping it, and he meets with the community around them over in India in Mumbai, is it? Mumbai?
Mumbai.
He'll say, I just was with this. The main guy is a big Bollywood director. So he'll say, I just got off the phone with Rajishi, and Bob, we're doing this for a meeting. So he's very involved with these people as friends. And with the legacy of UG Krishnamurti, they're trying to make books or videos and things like that. So he's very involved with that. Now, you know, I tried to talk to UG Krishnamurti through Ion. You know about that?
No.
You might have heard of it once I say it. So we contact UG Krishnamurti. So I ask him a question, and he says, well, if I even answer you, it undermines everything I said. Because he said there's no life after death. Fuck, it's nothing. You know, you go to nothing. So he wouldn't talk because it would mean that everything he said was wrong. So he wanted to pretend that he was still fucking right. So he didn't say he wasn't home, wasn't present. Isn't that good?
Yeah, no, that's good. Did I not ever go into the Antarctica?
You mean the Hollow Earth kind of stuff?
Yeah, or like I listened to a five-part series from Mae Brussel recently. About Antarctica, about UFO bases over there during the Falkland War.
No, this is the thing about UFOs is this is how ION handles it. First of all, there's the UFOs, which are yourself.
Yeah.
In the future, which is a now, and they'll come and visit you. And that happened to me and Carolyn early months. There was a little light over us. And he said, that was you, Bob and Carolyn, in the future, looking at us in our home, talking to ION. So there's that kind of UFO, which is a projection of you, the God, you know, the creator. So everything is a projection of you, so UFOs are. Then there are the ones made by the Pentagon with the old the Nazis made a lot of progress in the 30s and 40s, so the Wernher von Braun gang, they actually brought over some interesting stuff. So that's carried on. And the secret place for that is not Area 51, but Area 54, which is the Wright-Patterson base.
Right.
Now, there's that. Then there's UFOs. Ion calls them, I think, foreign bodies. These are in our universe, in our galaxy, and they come and they can abduct you. You know what I mean? They can do things with you, willing or not. So we're talking three kinds of UFOs here: domestic made, intergalactic, real stock guys that die and go to the guff, and then our own larger realities where our own selves are communicating to us, right, in vehicles and that. So. And then you got ghosts and vampires and all these other things. They might be put in there as visible phenomena, but you got three kinds you work with. So, what was your point? You started off asking about UFOs. What'd you say about it?
Oh, just wondering if ION ever went into it.
Oh, okay. So then you get into Nazis. Hitler, he did escape the bunker, but he only made it to Ethiopia, and he died in Ethiopia like 6 months later.
Okay.
And
was he looking for the Holy Grail over there? Or the Ark of the Covenant?
Oh, yeah, they were doing stuff. It was in the culture in the 20s and 30s running around. And they did find stuff, things manifested. What's hinted at this, this is what I learned about Pynchon. Gravity's Rainbow is about the secret history of that period and the weirdness. And he has weird devices and things he scatters throughout the book, Gravity's Rainbow. And you've heard me talk about that was the manuscript given to him by a guy who was part of the Nazi Reich.
Yeah, the guy from
Boeing, Lockheed.
Yeah, Boeing, whatever. Yeah, up in Washington. Yeah,
wherever Pynchon worked.
Yeah.
And that's natural. You know, he's an avant-garde or a German scientist. He gets to be in the elite aerospace industries and run by Lawrence Rockefeller. And then he meets this bright kid, Thomas Pynchon, who's a novelist and a good writer, and he says, okay, take this manuscript and make something out of it. And it came out in 1973, and that German scientist guy got killed that year.
Yeah.
Somebody probably figured out what was going on. But I tell you, the real book to read, I'm halfway through it. It took me like 8 months to get halfway through it.
The new one.
Page 525 or so, and it's 1,085 pages, is Against the Day. That is so ionic, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, that it sounds really good. I've been listening to you read that.
Yeah, the little quotes. He is describing, he's talking like ION did or does, you know, in sections and having professors having debates talking that level. He has weird artifacts, weird people have parallel world experience. The whole thing is so ionic that I'm beginning to think that recently there was a documentary on him, and they have a picture of him. They catch him in New York City. It looks like it is him. Everybody who looks at it says, that's you, Bob. It looks just like you. So there might be some weird doppelganger thing going on between me and Pynchon among our many selves. Because other Ionettes who know what Ion says read this, and they're freaked by it. It is damn uncanny how fucking ionic and Bob and everything is in there. It's just incredible.
I just got Gravity's Rainbow. I started reading that.
For the first time?
Yeah, except for I can't really follow it as I read it, which is too bad.
No, you don't worry. It's like Phineas Wake in English. He's jumping all over the place, jumping modalities, jumping perspectives. It's like he's stoned. He's writing, and he's stoned. And he'll go into real deep stone descriptions of a piece of dust falling down into the carpet. And then he'll go into a dialogue, and you don't even know what that is. You just have to go along. You're not going to get it at first. It's too esoteric. So you don't worry about it. You just keep going until you get whatever you get.
Right.
I mean, Harry Whittier, the great prof at Dalhousie University, who you can hear on my timeline, May 2011 maybe, end of May 2011, me and Greg Skinner talked to him and he dies a few months later. He read Gravity's Rainbow, and he was a novelist and, you know, a very literate person. He read it every year. Got something out of it every time.
I project the cover of it. When I do raves, I always put Gravity's Rainbow up there for a minute.
Right, right. Well, yeah, Against the Day, you see, you've seen my pattern. You've got he's McLuhan-esque. Now he wrote about McLuhan to a PhD student or something in the late '60s. David Seed is the professor who did a book where he shows the correspondence between Pynchon and some young guy, and Pynchon is explaining how he used McLuhan's eye versus ear dynamic for his organizing Gravity's Rainbow. And you can see it in all the books. He's talking about the effects of technology. So you take Mason and Dixon, that's the effect of the printing press on America. So that's it written way after the others, but let's re-put his books in technological order, not the order they're written.
Okay.
Then Against the Day is the period of the telegraph and coming into the early electron stuff, turn of the century.
That would be LaRouche? That would be what?
LaRouche is there's a lot of LaRouchean kind of drama in this among the factions.
Okay.
They talk about Ryman and this and that. Yes, LaRouche does a lot on that period. So the turn of the century, so call that the beginning of the analog electric media. He does that. Then what comes after that is 20s, 30s, and World War II. That's Gravity's Rainbow. Then you come up into the 50s, the black and white TV period. That's V. Then the colored TV period and the LSD, Tim Leary, mid-60s, 1965, that's the crying of Lot 49.
Right.
Then you go to Vineland, which is about 1984, but it's about what happened to people in the 60s and 70s as you get towards 1984. And that book came out in 1990. So that's about – that's after after the crying of Lot 69, crying of Lot 49, that's the mid-60s. Then late 60s, early 70s is Vineland. And then Inherent Vice, the recent one, is the period, the Manson murder, 69-70. It's sort of like the same period. Let me see. The end of Gravity's Rainbow, which ends in 1970 with this Nixon and bombing some people in an L.A. theater getting nuked, that is the moving into that scene is Inherent Vice. So Inherent Vice is like the left-out piece of the end of Gravity's Rainbow. But Gravity's Rainbow is mainly about World War II and ends with a top Nazi going to America. That's that. But but the very end of Gravity's Rainbow jumps ahead to 1970. So that 1970 period it jumps ahead to is Inherent Vice, which comes out 36 years later, because Gravity's Rainbow is 1973 and this is 2009. Now, I read Inherent Vice 6 months ago or 8 months ago, and it came out on August 4th, 2009. That's McLuhan's wedding day anniversary. And Pynchon does a video promo, and goes to Manhattan Beach and calls it Gordita Beach and talks about the scene there and the beginning of the setting for Inherent Vice. And here, once I read the novel, it had all these ionic themes in it, just touching on them, including the more bizarre ionic information. If I had read that in 2009 in the middle of early ion, I don't know what I would have thought was going on. I'm glad I didn't read it till later. It would have been a big distraction. I would have been puzzled by Pynchon knowing or writing about the very stuff that we were exploring with ION. And Ion always explored it in depth. It's not like we're hearing about parallel worlds and we didn't know about that. It's what Ion exposed about them, and then how whatever he said would show up in Fringe next week, the next week. That's the amazing xenarchy of it all. But part of the xenarchy was Pynchon's inherent vice. So I did that, and then I decided to tackle Against the Day. And you can see that the themes developed in 73 in Gravity's Rainbow really come out of the period that Against the Day is about. In 1890s, it starts in 1893, the Chicago World's Fair, or whatever it was, Chicago Exposition, and then it goes right now, halfway through the book, it's about 1901 or 1902. But that's the period before Gravity's Rainbow.
Huh.
And but it's written, you know, 30 years, almost, yeah, 30 years later. But it's all, he's writing, he's like a Faulkner, you know, who writes a history of some southern county, you know, that goes on for generations, his novels about whatever area he was from. I haven't read them all, so I can't remember the details, but I know he did an epic on these families. Well, that's what's happening with Pynchon's work. The grandfather of characters in Vineland are in Against the Day. It's the Webb Traverse family, T-R-A-V-E-R-S-E. So, anyways, this is, start reading Gravity's Rainbow, and I'm thinking, man, I haven't read William Gaddis and these other sort of famous authors. Who's the guy that did the JFK thing? DeLillo. I haven't read much
Don
of DeLillo.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that that Pynchon is the guy to read because he's so Ionic more than any of these other writers are. He's like a propagandist for Ion or all that Ion's talking about and what we're doing. He even gets into stuff that is revealed in our Bible series, the Book of Revelation, particular stuff about minerals that Ion told us about. Pynchon's got it in there, parts of it. Not the whole full story, but he's got fragments. It's pretty incredible. It's almost like his novels are, he listened to all the Ion stuff, the 1,000 hours that is streaming right now. You know about that.
Yeah.
So he listened to all that and, you know, he didn't listen to all of it. Like, I got 6,000 hours under the belt, but he listened to a lot of it. And then he said, he's stoned and he's blown away. So he just starts writing what he remembers and making little anecdotes from what he remembered from Ion. So it's quite scattered. He's hopping from one part of the world to another part or one kind of thinking or one kind of drama. It's actually quite lazily just going from one stupid scene to another. But the framework is the Ionic philosophy or metaphysics or something like that. So it's pretty incredible. So, yeah, start reading Pynchon and stay with Pynchon.
Yeah, I read like the first maybe 50 pages of Gravity's Rainbow. And
that's difficult. That's the banana. They're making the bananas. The banana guy.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know, after 50, maybe it's more than that. I couldn't really remember too much of what I'd read. But I was on a plane when I was reading it. So I think
you're not going to get it. But you just keep going, and eventually you'll get used to it. And then you'll start to notice, take it in. You just have to put up with the pain of going through the motions and not getting it. But remember, you got eternity, so there's no rush.
Right.
When I started when I started reading Against the Day, I'd read two paragraphs, and that's it. And then the next day, two more paragraphs. So I was going nowheres for months, right? Got 10 pages done in 2 months.
yeah, and then you talk to the guy on Payday, and he's saying that he read the whole thing.
Yeah, John Beter guy up in Vancouver Island. Maybe I'll meet him at the when I go to Vancouver in a couple of weeks. He had time in his life to just plow through it. And he's the one who got frightened by how Ionic it was.
Right.
And he's the one who says, "You fucking wrote this, Bob." that guy that's in the video documentary looks like me, wrote it.
So what about, on a different subject, but kind of similar, what about the Urantian?
Nothing. That's bullshit. Every metaphysical school ever was is bullshit. Ion says that they have crumbs. The crumbs are deposited in religions and secret societies and Freemasons. All over the place are these little crumbs, but nobody ever came together to tell you what the basic points are and beyond the crumbs and organize it. That's what
Ion that's fine. But, you know, it was a channeled thing, I thought. Maybe.
Well, Ion's not a channel. See, this is what
people
don't understand.
But you've been interested in channels before.
Only because they were. I wasn't interested in channels, the regular ones that have come out of that magazine, Sedona or Arizona. You know, that whole culture down there in Santa Fe where there's hundreds of channels. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I go for the best stuff. Dave Worster was unique and a great philosopher on his own right. There's not many channels or thinkers and have read McLuhan and are philosophers like Worster is. And Worster didn't even want to be a channel. He says, I'm not a channel. I don't want to deal with entities. But Everines came along, and they're like the Android meme replay of Cosmic Awareness and maybe Edgar Cayce. And they were amazing. As if you hear our celebration last Tuesday, what would that be, February 5th, payday,
yeah.
4 hours, we go into detail. You will. The Everines were so nobody could do what they did, and it was channeling. They called Michael Blake Reed a deep trance psychic, and he did go out. And these entities you talk to, and they call themselves entities, that was channeling. But Ion has been adamant from the beginning that they're not entities, they're not any of that stuff, and they're a hologram, and they're a tape recording, and everything that we've been doing the last 4 years already happened, is logged away in the archive somewhere, and we're just waking up to it and remembering it. So,
right.
And then he can prove it in many ways, and especially in our secret projects. And the people who – we have to have other humans help us. So they get to witness this. They know what I'm talking about.
I like that. I like that right there. He can prove it in many ways, especially in our secret projects.
What did I just say? What was the first words? I said I could prove it.
You said that you know, we could prove it in many ways, except for – or especially in our secret projects.
Yeah, and what I mean is that if they weren't secret – and you got to hear and witness what happened, you'd be convinced immediately that something amazing is going on. And I'm saying the employees there, we can't hide it from them. They're flabbergasted, and they keep it to themselves, and often they don't understand it. But if we could have them talk about it, just bring them on, they would tell you what goes on. And it violates every known law in physics and everything. And it works, and it does stuff that's incredible. So knowing that... in other words, it's like Pynchon, he makes fun of everybody, the scientists, the artists, everybody's a jerk, or just sort of limited and crazy. From the perspective of knowing what I've learned from Ion and what we can do, yeah, everybody is a nut and ridiculous. The Urantia, all this ramblings, the only book worth reading, if you have to read, is Finnegan's Wake, because that gives you the process of the history of all media.
Right.
And is difficult, and when you actually learn how to perceive the way to read the wake, then you're a truly literate person, and you're not hypnotized by literacy. So the book to study is, and you have to study it in many different ways. You can't just be a reading group. You got to read a lot of the criticism. You got to read my stuff, Eric McLuhan's stuff, Marshall's stuff. Marshall's is the best translation of it all. All his books is translations, but I'm finding, I would say, that you learn how to not be fooled by literacy, by training and perception of Finnegan's Wake. But then in human content, like anthropomorphic level, it looks like Pynchon's the best stuff to read besides Finnegan's Wake for the human story, the story of humans dealing with the Ionic. So Finnegan's Wake for a perceptual training, and then for a nice simple story, which is not so simple when you read it, The work of Pynchon seems to be the keeper.
Huh. And McLuhan's good too, Terry.
Yes, well, yes. When you're reading, when you're studying Finnegan's Wake, you got to study all the different critics, but especially study McLuhan.
Right.
You're learning how to uncover all the assumptions that literacy and industrial citizenship has given you that you're not aware of.
You're
laughing?
Yeah, I'm laughing. So
now this kind of stuff, I can't talk to Bob Carr about it. Hardly can talk to Worster about it. Nobody can talk about it. They don't know it. And they may not need it. They're already quite ascended or whatever it is, the weird condition of detachment they get themselves into. But I can do it with Ion. Ion is an expert. He's told me all kinds of things about the wake that nobody else will know and incredible stuff.
Well, yeah, because Ion, I think Ion's kind of replaying back to you what you already know, right?
No. He puts down what I know all the time. I got it all wrong. McLuhan got it all wrong. He can talk their stuff. He says, now McLuhan said this. And he'll say exactly what McLuhan said, a very esoteric point. They say, well, what McLuhan got wrong about that, and blah, 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 and then he'll correct it.
So you don't think that Ion's accessing your unconscious when he's talking to you?
Oh, he does do that, but he adds something to it. See,
well, yeah, because he can deal with it. He can interact with it.
No, he tells you the facts, whatever you want to call the truth or the facts or what's really going on and from non-physical's perception, because non-physical knows all.
Yeah.
And we created non-physical to know all. We're greater than non-physical, but we put ourselves in a lesser position, so we think we have to have a non-physical that knows all. And it does know all. So, you know, people interpret, they approach what Ion's doing with different degrees of familiarity, and as they get more into it, they pass through the phase, well, this is all just Bob stuff. You know, they'll pass through that. Now, making the RNA drops is not Bob stuff.
And I don't think that he just knows Bob stuff. I think whoever he's talking to, he knows.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He knows
right.
what they know.
He vacuums their brain. I mean, I had him talking to a banker about all the stuff, and that banker told me a year later that everything that Ion, he was amazed, everything Ion told him came true.
Yep.
But right after the session with that banker, we're then talking to a woman with a mauling baby screaming in the background, and Ion went on for 20 minutes about how to do the diapers in detail.
Right, yeah. Cause,
yeah, now he got that from her, or he worked with what she had, but then he added to it.
Right.
And it's not a he. It's a they. It's an it. It's a tachyonic recording is what you're talking to.
Yeah.
Electricity squared.
It's a large.
Yes, that's right. JW. Ion's not large, but JW is not a medium. He's not a medium. He's a large.
I also have wondered about this, like when it talks about multiple JWs, are they all really just copies of JW, or are they other people accessing?
No, there's a lot. We have a lot on that, and I don't talk about it unless Ion's here, because I'd garble it or mix it up. And then I'd say a few things if Ion was here, and then Ion would correct me. But it's a very complex situation, what these are, these other people are of JW. And we have others of ourselves and all this. Just JW has allowed himself to become aware or to have those other selves be around him.
Well, yeah, and so there's an idea from, have you ever heard of, what's the guy?
And by the way, if fucking JW was in jail, he does that, you put one of them in jail, the others are out here. So you can't put JW in jail.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. You were going to say?
Dr. York. Do you know Dr. York from New York City?
No, I don't know. No?
Dr. York is interesting.
How do you spell that?
What's that?
How do you spell York? Y-O-R-K?
Yeah, Y-O-R-K. He was a R&B musician in the 80s, and then he started his own kind of cult. It was the New Wavian movement. It was like a black power movement. It was really mystical. It was a splinter group from the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
And he kind of goes into all the kind of like the cosmic awareness type stuff.
Right.
And theosophy and kind of like that whole thing. But he talks about, like, everyone has seven doubles or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's a limitation. Now, remember, Ion can talk theosophy better than anybody, but he didn't believe it. He understands how it's Blavatsky's creation and why it's there, and he has no problem with it, but it's nothing you want to know about once you have Ion to teach you stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't have Ion.
There's not one source of information that is equal to Ion.
Where's Ion?
What?
I he's not going to talk to me, or they're not going to talk
right.
to me.
That's right. Well, you've got lots of stuff and lots of recordings to listen to, and then you've got you listen to the McLuhan and Maui. When people re-listen to it, they go, holy shit, there's stuff in there I didn't notice.
Yeah,
you got to re-listen to Ion all the time because you're missing a lot of it. You're blocking on it. But the what else about that? So there's that to listen to, and then there's the RNA drops. That's a whole Ionic thing.
Yeah, no, I've been there.
That. What?
I've taken the RNA drops, and I continue to, yeah.
Right. So you have Ion's sets a high bar, which for most people is totally impractical. When I bring up, if I brought up Dr. York, and let's say he had died. Mm-hmm. He's just an example. So Dr. York, he mastered theosophy, and he says, where is he today? Oh, he's dead. Well, forget that, Bob. If they died, they didn't make it. He operates from the point that only deal with people who stayed alive, like Enoch, and I think it's Elijah, Saint Germain, there's a whole bunch of them. Even Sarah, Abraham's wife, you know, from, 4,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, she's still alive.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You know, and of course nobody's going to believe that, but this is the level Ion's talking about, that
only ascended masters.
Yeah, only, and he says no ascended master would ever call himself an ascended master. So don't use those terms.
Right.
They just did it, and they keep it to themselves. But you can with Ion start to figure out how to do it yourself. And the RNA, and you couldn't really do it today the way we are. So you need something like RNA drops, and then the bread of life and all that. That's going to help people do this.
What about the have you heard of the Integratron?
I don't care about it.
No, okay. Fine.
Yeah, well, okay. What about it? The Integratron. What's
the Integratron. We went out there recently. It was down in Landers, California.
Yeah, what is it?
It was a device. There's a guy who's living under this giant rock down there called Giant Rock, and he started having these UFO conventions down in the desert, and before that, he was doing these channeling things, and then people from Venus came to him. They taught him how to extend the human race 150 years, right?
Right.
So that your lifespan, yeah, 150 years, so that we wouldn't destroy the planet as much. And he was building this thing, the Integratron, and it's all made of wood. There's no metal in it. But then he died a couple of years before completing it.
He failed.
His second wife didn't care.
Right. No, she didn't care about finishing it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's a guy. Ion would not deny what the guy says, what the guy built, and what he claims, and what kind of experience that those that resonate with him get. But Ion say it would be very trivial compared to what you could do.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't. You could say that about everything, which he does.
Well, Ion says that about everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything is a fucking second-rate nothing. And it's about time, he says, you guys get first-rate stuff, and Ion's here to give it to you.
Yeah.
And,
he was
you know,
here.
What?
He was here.
He's here. Well, we're in the second phase. We did our public stuff. We communicated to what he calls the 99%ers. Now we're dealing with not necessarily the 1%ers, though those who take the RNA drops can be called 1%ers. It's not a financial lead, but we're dealing with the products that we created and how to bring it forth. So, and also it's good that Ion dropped off. We're having an Ion fast so that people can stop being addicted to just turning on to Ion all the time and
right.
relying on Ion. Ion's not there to Ion wants to get you to the point where you go, fuck you, Ion, I don't need you. I got an ascended situation going here, and I don't need non-physical. So Ion's for that. And now we've got this website up. We're streaming 24/7. And everybody's addicted to it. Who listens to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've just been listening to the other one.
Me.
Yeah, just
yeah,
you. Yeah.
The Old Testament.
Yeah.
the John the Baptist. I was John the Baptist, you know, unconsciously predicting and acting out Ionic things on CKLN and other things for 20 years. And that's what's interesting about the Church Subgenius book is that it is an intuition of the Ionic situation in cartoon form.
Right, right.
It always was, so it was about me.
Yeah, or it's about Ion.
Well, it goes together, but the my chart is in the Bible, you know. Tiny note chart, and the bigger
mine.
One. What?
But no, nothing.
Your chart's not in the fucking Bible. all you can claim is that you made a video out of my chart, which is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I did, yeah.
You did a literal translation. Literal translation.
Yeah,
and
but I've done that ever since. Yeah, I've done a lot. Need to get out of that.
You've done what? Wait, what are you saying? You did what?
Oh, no, I do it all the time. I do, you know, so there's a picture
what
online.
What do you do all the time?
I project your chart.
Oh, yeah, right. You play it. Let's name it. I'm Not Beer?
Yeah, I mean, that's the movie, but then I do it live all the time.
Yes, and the latest thing you and Jerry did, the latest thing, that just color thing,
yeah.
I saw some of the images in behind there. Was I right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. You're always working from the chart, which is a good artistic stance. You're dealing with the new scientific technological discovery. My chart. That's the new periodical chart kind of thing, and periodic chart. And you work with that in every art. That's the proper position to launch from.
Definitely.
I agree.
Definitely,
right.
Definitely.
Now, what I was going to say about it is that I'm Not Beer. It's on YouTube. I'm Not Beer. So if you're listening, go watch it. And,
yeah, and also you can watch RIA.
Is that the new one I just saw?
Yeah, spelled O-U-R-E-Y-E-A-Y-E.
Yeah, right. RIA. Now, why RIA? What's that mean?
Resonance interval algorithm.
Okay. Did Jerry come up with that, or you, or both of you?
Kind of both of us together, but it's going to be it's dealing with the quadrivium.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there's four of them. There's going to be four.
There are going to be four of them.
Yeah. There's one right now that's been playing around. People like it, but there's three more on the way.
Okay. Where? How do you guys make them? Do you get together, or you do it by computer?
Via computer. Yeah.
Email or
computer and the phone. Email and the phone.
And he can't see it. He just tells you what he wants, and then you do it.
Yeah. We send it back and forth.
Oh, okay. And where was the showing of the trilogy he did with Mark Farina? Where was that shown a week or two ago? What was the institute?
Oh, that was at USC.
Oh, some art class, some college guys class.
It was the USC's film school, is the experimental film department, put it on.
Well, who in there was interested? How did Jerry get them interested? Mark knew somebody?
No, Jerry knew him.
So he said, did the class sponsor it, or they just gave Jerry room to do it?
No, they sponsored it, yeah. They had him come down and do it.
So, and the class had to sit through it?
No, it was after school. It was featured in LA Weekly, actually.
Oh, okay, it was just an event. So here's the thing. Jerry should have got up. He didn't do it. I know he wouldn't do it, but he should have got up and said, that fucking whack job that was in the third video with the red and white shirt on, saying silly things here and there, McLuhan quotes, that fucking guy's got the answer to the universe, the RNA drops, right now. Now, see, that's the punchline he should say. You know, I'm talking about the footage of me in those things.
Yeah. No, I'll say that next time, definitely.
And Jerry should update, even if Jerry doesn't believe it, he should say it, because at least you know it's true. You tell him to say it. If that whack job that is doing odd stuff in this thing is now president of the world in terms of authority of knowledge, you know, in terms of RNA drops, and making an RNA drops commercial, for fuck's sake. It's stupid the way Jerry limits himself, incredibly limiting what he's doing.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know what?
I don't know if it's stupid. I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's stupid. Considering what he has access to, he has access to Dobbstown and all that we do, and we gave him the free drops. Come on, Jerry. Get your fucking act together. And the way he talks about McLuhan and all that, that's good for lazy people. That's for the 99%ers. It's terrible what he says, how he presents it. There's no perception offered. It's just sucking up to the counterculture archetypes, Lenny Bruce and Stravinsky and this and that. It's terrible. But he could redeem himself by saying, look, this is all Old Testament. Go for the New Testament. You know, payday. I'm in charge. That's the name of the radio show. Payday. I'm in charge. And if you call in, you're in charge when you have the microphone.
Well, yeah. So I'm going to go down there in a month or two, and maybe we'll call it payday.
I'm in, dot, dot, dot. I'm in charge.
Yeah, I'm in charge, yeah.
You mean you're doing another performance?
Yeah. We're doing two in April.
Where at?
At Beyond Baroque, and then at the Echo Park Film Center.
Right, I know those places. So, yeah, good. And you're going to do the trilogy, Mark Farina's trilogy.
Yeah.
And
we're not playing those, no. I don't think so.
You're doing your stuff.
Our stuff, yeah.
I'm Not Beer and RIA.
Yeah, well, no, we're doing new stuff.
Oh, you got new stuff, which is not RIA.
Yeah. Or it is RIA, but it's not the same thing that you'd see online. It's other stuff.
Right. It's the newer. You're going to present the newer parts two and three.
It's an interactive live version that goes on for a few hours.
So since he won't do it, whenever you're there, you do it. You point out
definitely.
What the punchline is.
Definitely.
And you tell these people to go to rnadrops.com, and a few of them will. And they'll fucking love Will after that when they get the drops. And what happens to them, they'll forever be indebted to you. You won't call in your debts, but they'll appreciate that you lived.
Yeah. No, I mean, I turn people onto it all the time.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, to the free drops, especially.
Yeah.
But, okay, my boss is kind of knocking on the door, so I got to get back to work.
Well, we didn't get any specifics about Bob Carr, but what might come to is I might end up there helping you do the interview.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
So yeah, get him and get the details when he wants to do it and see if I can fit it in.
Yeah, maybe we could do it over the phone too, and I could have him in real life.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Okay, but I think it might be nice to go down there and do this in person with him. I mean, it'll be my I hadn't seen him since early 1970s, so we're talking 43 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you should see him in real life, definitely.
Right. Okay, and I would be tempted to get Worcester there, but that'd be too logistics might be too hard in no time. Okay, let's go. We'll talk to you soon. Oh,
okay,
wait a minute.
Cool.
I gotta stop the recording. Here it goes.